Good afternoon. I'm Navy Seaman Adam Mojica, otherwise known as DJ Mojo, with some Wellness Wednesday. Today, I am joined with my wonderful co-host, DJ MOB. How are you today?
Good. Can you believe it's almost the end of April?
It feels like April has gone by so fast.
Yes, really quick. And next thing we know, we're here to the summer months. So get ready for that.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got our Facebook question of the day. It's your annual picnic or cookout at work, right? What are you bringing?
Okay. What I would bring is, are pineapples and watermelon.
Ooh.
Because you can grill that or you can eat it as is. I try to avoid anything that's kind of like that made back home that has any dairies.
Yeah.
Just because back some 20 years ago, I know somebody had a wedding and they had like a kind of a cookout after that, and a bunch of people from that wedding got sick because they ate something and it was kind of got spoiled because of the heat. So yeah, I try to avoid that.
And then why are we here today?
Well, in recognition of Earth Day is April 22nd. So we will be talking about environmental safety. So today we'll be talking about various topics such as air quality, including sandstorms, heat safety, and water safety.
From 22,000 miles in space via satellite, AFN The Eagle, serving America's best.
So we were just talking about that question of the day and why we're here, but you know, what can you tell us about air quality?
Well, sometimes the air quality outdoors may not be safe for everyone, especially here living here in Bahrain. I don't know if you noticed about the air quality. Have you noticed any changes in your breathing?
Just a little bit, but...
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people do have a lot of, like, breathing problems. They also have issues with people allergies. So I don't know if you noticed that, but with my family, I feel like my husband's always like sneezing. So that's kind of like an indication for us, like what's going on with the air.
Yeah, I will say I have been sneezing constantly recently, even at work, you know, four times. I'll just randomly just be sneezing. And then at home, I've been sneezing. I got some allergy medicine, so I take that and it's died down a little bit, but still been going on.
Yes, and you can really tell, especially when I was living in Italy, it was the same way. The air quality where we were living wasn't great. And the moment that we fly somewhere else, a different country, it was a game changer. Like we weren't coughing, we weren't sneezing, and it's just different the way we breathe. So really pay attention to that. Now, about the air quality, in order for us to measure that, you need to pay attention to the air quality index, also known as AQI. AQI tells you when high levels of air pollution are predicted and how air pollution affects your health. Have you heard of AQI?
I believe I have. I remember seeing one day Bahrain was in the red and I was like, oh, let me check what San Diego is. And then I was checking that. I was like, oh, it's in the green, and then nearby a little bit yellow, but it's pretty much green in near San Diego.
Exactly. So the AQI is like a color spectrum, just like what you had mentioned. The readings here in the Gulf are linked to like fossil fuel based energy production, emission of industrial processes. So if you'll see around here, there's a lot of industrial companies, and then waste burning, we do see that a lot, right? And then construction, I feel like everywhere you look here or drive here, there's a construction that are taking place, and then also the motor vehicle, the emission. So that's why I think yearly they need to get their emission tested for the cars or vehicle emission tested.
Yeah, like a smog check type of thing.
Yes, exactly. So the AQI, they go from green, that's good, yellow, moderate, orange, unhealthy for sensitive groups, red, unhealthy, and then purple, very unhealthy, and then the maroon is hazardous. And each of those colors are associated with a particulate matter range. So for example, they call it PM. PM between 0 to 50 is good, like what you were saying, San Diego is green, right? So green, good, while the PM for 151 to 200 is unhealthy.
A lot like real life, only louder. AFM The Eagle, serving America's best.
So I know we were just talking about how air quality is measured, but what about air pollution? How does it affect health?
Well, air pollution can affect our health in many, many ways, especially like respiratory health. Air pollution can make it harder for people with, especially with asthma and other respiratory diseases, to breathe. I don't know if you noticed, you know, some days here, it depends on, you know, where you're at, but there, because there's a lot of construction, there's a lot of dust, it may be harder some days to breathe compared to other days when it's not as, you're not surrounded with all those dust and everything. But can you imagine if you're asthmatic and then the air pollution out there, I feel like they feel it more. They have more symptoms.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. I know one day I was riding my bike to work and it was the sandstorm happening. And not only like were my eyes getting like hit with dust, and so I had to like squint a little bit. Every time, you know, sandstorm comes, I just think of like a camel, how they have like three sets of eyelashes or something.
Yes.
And so their eyelashes always catch the dust. So I try to act like a camel, trying to block all the dust. And then my breathing, it didn't really feel off too much.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I could tell that it could potentially.
Yes.
Just breathing in all the dust.
Definitely. It really hits a lot of people who have like respiratory issues, not just asthma, but people who have constructive obstructive pulmonary diseases, COPD. I think we talked about that in our previous shows. Also, people with heart disease and stroke, air pollution can be harmful to heart health and may make it more likely that some people will have a heart attack or stroke. So you need to really learn the facts about air pollution and how you can keep your heart healthy.
So I know last week we just had a sandstorm in the area. Does that affect air quality?
Absolutely. Dust storms are natural events and are common in parts of the world with dry land areas. Where we're at, Bahrain, the UAE. So dust storms reduce air quality and visibility, like you were talking about before the break, and may have adverse effects on our health, particularly for people who have already breathing related problems. So dust particles vary in size from coarse, which is non-inhalable, to very fine. That's why it's kind of like really dangerous, because we don't see them, and those very fine things can go to our lungs. So like what we said, coarse dust particles generally only reach as far as the inside of our nose, which is still irritating, or our mouth and throat. Small or fine particles, however, can get much deeper into the sensitive regions of the respiratory tract and lungs. So these smaller dust particles have a greater potential for to cause serious harm to our health. Commonly, particles in dust storms tend to be coarse or non-respirable and do not pose a serious health threat to general public. However, some people with pre-existing breathing-related problems such as asthma, emphysema, we talked about the COPD, may experience difficulties.
And what are the health effects of sandstorms?
The most common symptoms experienced during dust storms are irritation to the eyes and upper airway. So when you were talking about, we don't have those camel-like lashes, right? Actually, I just found out, since you told me that's the purpose of those pretty lashes, right? I was just seeing, I saw a camel over the weekend. I was like, oh, they got really nice lashes. But now I know. A lot more people get irritation to the eyes because we don't usually tend to cover them.
Hmm.
And also the upper airways, because of those coarse particles, if we're not wearing a respirator or a mask during the sandstorm, they can go into our nose and our mouth and the eyes and can cause some health or irritation and cause some health effects. People who may be more vulnerable than others are infants, children, adolescents, the elderly. I don't want to belay it, but people with respiratory conditions, heart diseases, as well as people with diabetes can be really affected.
You wouldn't buy a pair of pants with just one leg, so why settle for a radio station that plays only one kind of music? For true music variety, it's AFN The Eagle. We put our variety on one leg at a time.
So I know we were just talking about the health effects of sandstorms, but what are some health precautions as well?
So the health precautions, well, first and foremost, avoid outdoor activities. So during sandstorms, it's highly encouraged that you stay indoor. If you must go outside, spend as little time as possible outside. And then cover your nose with and mouth with a mask or damp cloth to reduce exposure to dust particles. I don't know, during sandstorm, I mean, I limited my exposure out there, but you can see people that are walking around. I didn't have it, but the mask, they were wearing masks. So that's good. It's really, if you don't have that, at least damp the cloth and put it over your mouth, because it will, you know, the wetness of that cloth can kind of help as a barrier, right? Because it will stick to that before it gets into your face. They recommend surgical mask and or N95. I don't know if you're familiar of the N95.
Is that the one with the respiratory things on the side, or is that just like the...
Well, they have a different types of respirator. This is one more of the more, I guess, least complex.
Oh, the and they where fit you pinch it.
Exactly. Yeah. They fit it to make sure it fits your face. This was big during COVID because it does like get all those more fine particles and prevents us from, you know, in that sense, prevents us from getting the disease. But this, in this sense, it would also prevent us from getting all those small particles that we get from the sandstorms.
Yeah, I know when I worked with my dad, you know, we would do some carpentry working with wood and then some tile cutting for, you know, bathrooms and stuff like that. And we would always wear those masks.
Yes.
Because they, all the, you know, you're talking about the fine particles, right? So the fine particles from like the wood as well, like exactly. All that, the tile, you don't want that in your lungs. So we would always have the mask that you just pinch and yes. Then it just... Yeah, it's really nice.
You can definitely get those too in back home, those hardware stores that we go to. So they have that, and you have to really fit it correctly. So even though you're getting the, you know, the part of your nose and pinching it, making sure everything else is sealed, because they're small enough that they can get through them, like on the side, if you don't secure them properly. Also, avoid vigorous exercise, especially if you have asthma, diabetes, or any breathing related condition, because that might just exacerbate that. Stay indoors, again, like what we said in the beginning, with windows and doors closed, because we just want to protect ourselves, you know, from any of those sandstorms, small particles, and then stay in an air-conditioned premises. Luckily, here in Bahrain, they have good AC. At least where I live, it's pretty good. I know. How about in the barracks?
The barracks are actually amazing. I don't know about the other barracks near the galley, but the ones where I'm at, They're actually really nice. And The fan works too. I could just set it to, I think, 16 degrees Celsius, and it will go to 16 degrees Celsius.
And that's good, because you can keep it all year round, especially in Bahrain, to keep that on, and it's free.
Yeah, I definitely won't be putting it on 16 degrees Celsius, but I think I normally put it around 22.
Yes.
And it's always really cool.
That's
and then
good.
With the fan as well, it's perfect. Any other tips about sandstorms, though?
Well, visibility deteriorates very quickly during a sandstorm, just like your experience when you were riding your bike. So if you're on the road and your ability to drive is impaired by poor visibility, make sure you reduce your speed. I had this one time. I was driving home, and that was the first time that I drove during the sandstorm. I was really scared. It's like almost driving in during the snowstorm. But this time it's kind of even more scary, because I really can't see anything. So make sure you turn your head and taillights on. Be prepared to pull off the side of the road. If visibility deteriorates like about 10 meters, make sure you try to go on the side of the road. If your car is air conditioned, make sure you reduce the amount of dust entering your car by switching. I don't know if you see it. It's like a recirculate type of
button.
Yes. Yeah. So that dust are not coming in your car.
If you want an oldie, go visit your grandma. AFM The Eagle, serving America's best.
So we're just talking about sandstorms, but let's just move on to heat safety. What about that?
Definitely. Since the heat is upon us, right? So for many people, warm weather is time to for fun-filled outdoor activities. However, hot weather, just like here in Bahrain, and outdoor activities don't always mix well, especially during periods of extreme heat, times when temperatures are substantially hotter and more humid than average for a location and date. So our location, Bahrain, and date, which is like starting probably either mid-May on to what, September? So we're going to be experiencing those high temperature. So extreme heat can cause people to suffer from heat related illness, and it can sometimes even cause death if you don't like really prepare for that. So people suffer heat related illness when their bodies are unable to properly cool themselves. Remember last show we talked about exactly this, and heat and exercising in the heat and how to properly hydrate ourselves. Yeah. And there's, of course, always there's the vulnerable population, the older adults, the young children, and people with chronically medical condition. Those are who are at risk for heat-related illness and death. More than 700 people die from extreme heat every year in the United States.
That was honestly way more than I expected.
Yeah, despite us knowing, right? Still, there's those amount of people that die from extreme heat. So warmer temperatures can mean higher ozone levels, like what we're talking about in the beginning of the show, the pollution. So pay attention to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, Air Quality Index. Remember the color chart spectrum that we're talking about when planning outdoor summer activities, especially if you have asthma or other lung diseases.
So what can we do about heat-related illnesses or injuries?
Well, one, you should stay cool. So when it's hot, stay cool. If you're outside, especially for long periods of time, and the heat risk is red, remember heat red is like unhealthy or above, stay in the shades as much as possible. Take breaks when you can. Do outdoor activities during the coolest parts of the day or evening, if possible. Unfortunately, here, when the summer comes, it's always a black flag. So yeah. They really discourage you doing any activities during the time that it's black flag.
Yeah, I know when I was in Pensacola, after getting dropped from rescue summer school, you go to not command, but a little like group. And then you do the watch, a lot of watches, basically. And you have to go outside, check humidity, mm-hmm. the heat index, like all of that stuff. And then you got to go on the radio and it alerts all the instructors that are currently going through rescue swimmer school or air crew school as the instructors. And you got, you know, they listen for, oh, what's the temperature and what flag level it is it? So then we can't, you know, do PT as hard as possible or something. Like once it goes red, they have to stick to a certain schedule.
Yes.
Black flag, they got to stop immediately.
Mm-hmm. And then that's what I noticed being here in Bahrain, like during the summer months, every day is black flag. And even if it's just, we're just getting to work early in the morning, it's already black flag.
Yeah.
And then even in the afternoon where you would think it would cool down here, and maybe it will cool down, but it's still like in the mid 80s. So I don't know if that coupled with the air quality here, I don't know, it would be the best to do any outside activities.
Yeah, I went to the galley at 4 a.m. I think it was on like in the middle of summer last year. And it was like, 94 degrees with a real feel of 100 and something. And I was mm-hmm. like, it's 4 a.m. It's pitch black out. It's still this hot.
Yes, it's just, I don't know. That's why I think there's a lot of activities in Bahrain, especially in UAE. I notice everything is indoor. Even their theme parks are indoor, just yeah. so that the people can still be kind of outdoor, doing things that are kind of outdoor, but it's actually indoor, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then just a tip, like if you want to look up the temperature, right? You can have it in your app on the phone. But when you look at that, you can also see the air quality during that time.
So what about drinking water? Because I know water, that's a big thing. I love drinking water.
Yes. And just like what we talked about last show, right? We make sure hydrate, especially on the summer months. Drink plenty of fluids. Carry a water bottle. making sure you're drinking and refilling it throughout the day, especially for our coffee drinkers, you know, because they kind of, they're like, acts like a diuretic. So make sure you have your water bottle always filled and drinking it throughout the day. Consider limiting beverages with high sugar, sodium, caffeine, alcohol if possible. Because, you know, a lot of people mix drinks, right? Mm-hmm. So they like to party and drink during those barbecues. But just make sure you're also hydrating. And then check your urine color. Do you remember that from our last show?
Yeah, the urine chart.
Yes.
Yeah.
You'll see that at the gym too. So when it's light yellow or clear, that usually means you're drinking enough water. But when it's coming to be like amber, yellow, like deep yellow, that means you're definitely dehydrated, and definitely make sure you need to hydrate on that by that time. And it's also important to know your symptoms. If your body gets too hot, you can get sick. So know the symptoms of your body overheating and when to seek medical care. Muscle cramping, heavy sweating, shortness of breath, dizziness, headache, and weakness during those hot summer months. Make sure you know yourself, know your symptoms. And if you are, get some rest, get on the shade, and then get hydrated.
The freshest hits on the planet. The most music in the universe. AFM The Eagle.
So what are some tips to protect the skin from the sun?
Great question. Well, when talking about heat safety, you also need to take in consideration our skin that is directly exposed to the sun. So spending time outside, it's a great way to be physically active and reduce stress. You can work and play outside without raising your skin cancer risk by protecting your skin from the sun. So how do we do that? Make sure that you stay in the shade. That will help you reduce the risk of sun damage and skin cancer. Clothing. There's a lot of clothing with what they call SPF, and that will protect you. I mean, they go all the way up to 50 SPF. It's the same thing that when we talk about like sunscreen, we want to make sure that we have that sun protection. SPF stands for sun protection factor. So if wearing these types of clothing isn't practical, we'll try to wear a t-shirt or a beach cover up. Clothing made from tightly woven fabric offers the best protection. Hat is also important, especially for some folks that don't have a lot of hair. You know, there's, my husband is one of them. So I just try to make sure that either he has like sunscreen, but he doesn't really wear a lot of hats either. So
yeah, I know in with our uniform, we're allowed to wear the bucket hats out here.
Yes. Do you have those?
I personally do not. But I know a lot of people that do have them, and they look honestly really cool. I want to wear one.
I really wish that we still had those tropical uniforms, right, that they would wear. I think it was in DGAR or Cuba when, you know, but I don't know if they still wear it there. But yeah, I like those hats as well. So just make sure you wear those as well. They said tightly woven fabric such as a canvas works best to protect your skin from the UV rays. They said avoid straw hats with holes because the sun can still get through them. Sunglasses. It's important to also protect our eyes from the UV rays and reduce the risk of cataracts. So always have those shades. I think a lot of people wear shades, so it's nice that people do wear them here. And then like what we talked about, sunscreen. Get sunscreen with the SPF of 15 and above. And don't forget to reapply. There's a lot now. My SPF that I have right now is 50. So I make sure I use that before, you know, I get out there, and then make sure you reapply because they do kind of expire the effectiveness of that, especially when you're swimming, kind of wash it away. So make sure you reapply. I was just in Dubai last weekend, and I saw people that were really hot red, and I don't understand why they don't wear their sunscreen. You're smiling. Looks like you are guilty of this.
Personally, I'm not guilty, but I remember when I first got to A school, it was back in June, the end of June in 2023, actually. And there was people that just got back from Ocean City in Maryland,
mm-hmm.
and they were bright red, and I thought it was the funniest thing because that's the first time I saw them ever, so it's like the first impression. Mm-hmm. And I could not get it out of my head, and they were just bright red like tomatoes. It was great,
because that must hurt too if you get burned. Sometimes I get burned in my shoulders if I don't really reapply, and that hurts, especially for females. We have those undergarments that we wear, and kind of like if they're placed there, that really leaves a painful mark on our shoulders. So just make sure you do that, and then check the expiration date, because they do expire. The shelf life is no more than 3 years.
You tried other stations at work, but all the plants died. Today's best music is on AFN The Eagle, serving America's best.
So I know we talked about air and heat safety, but now that summer is here and upon us, more people are out swimming, like myself. How about we talk about swim safety?
Of course. Yes, definitely. Definitely an important topic. I want to specifically talk about drowning prevention. Let's start with some facts, though. So more children ages 1 to 4 dies from drowning than any other cause of death. They're still young. They don't know what to do. They panic, right? So drowning happens in seconds, and it's often silent, right? You know, parents or the adults are busy, you know, during the socializing and unaware of where their kids are. So always make sure that the children, the young ones especially, are always attended to. And then drowning can happen to anyone, not just the kids, but also adults. I know a lot of people, especially when alcohol is involved, they get too complacent, especially at the beach. At least on the swimming pool is a little bit more controlled. But when you're at the beach, you don't know the current status.
The riptides.
Exactly. So it's really, really important that you look after each other when you're out there.
We're not bribing you to listen, even with your great sense of humor, not to mention your great looks. Serving America's best.
So we just talked about the facts, but what are some drowning prevention techniques?
Well, first, learn basic swimming and water safety skills. I think that's important. What age did you learn to swim?
I feel like I didn't learn to swim until I was probably around 8. So not too, even though I was in San Diego, right? Probably not until... I remember doing a swim class in preschool when I was like 3 or 4.
Yes.
But didn't really learn how to swim until around 8.
A little bit older. Yeah, no, that's really important. If parents have time to put their kids into those swimming classes, I think they should invest in that. I think it's really important, especially here in Bahrain. A lot of places, if you live in a villa, they have the pool. So we want to make sure the kids are, you know, have a little bit more of a swimming techniques water safety skills. Build fences that fully enclose pools. I think that's one of the safety measures that the housing do when people rent into places with swimming pools here. It's actually a requirement for them to put a gate around the pool. And depends on your kids, of course, ages. Supervise closely what we talked about. You know, it's fun, be out there socializing with, you know, our fellow adults, but also make sure you keep an eye on your children. Wear a life jacket. Never hurts for kids to have that. It's they have it in all the pools. Actually was in Dubai. I went to the Aqua Venture Park, and they had all the life, the life vests, the life jackets for kids to wear. For parents and also adults, teens even, learn CPR. At least I think for us, I know you said you were doing the dives or
rescue summer school.
Yeah. So I'm sure they taught you guys to do CPR in that class. Me being medical, that is actually a requirement for us to know basic life skills. So that's that. If you're going to like natural waters, I think Oman. I haven't gone through Oman, but they have like those waterfalls, more of like a natural water. Just make sure you know the risk of what you're getting into. This is a big one. Avoid alcohol, right? I mean, a lot of people drink while doing that. There's a reason why we don't drive and drink or drink and drive. We should probably watch our alcohol intake if we're going to be swimming out there.
For sure.
Yeah. Buddy system. That's always a thing that we do here in the military. We want to make sure we always have a buddy, look after each other, and not just like put it on paper that I have a buddy and actually not be with that person. And then just the other things that just a precautionary, take additional precautions for medical conditions. Some people have medical conditions that may increase your risk for drowning. Consider the effects of some medication that might impair your balance, coordination, or judgment. And lastly, if you're in a situation where you might be in a drowning situation, don't hyperventilate or hold your breath for a long time, because that can cause you to pass out and drown. So that's sometimes they call hypoxic blackout or shallow water blackout. So just keep calm, stay calm, and try to make sure that you're breathing and keep yourself afloat.
Well, thank you so much. I think that's all we got for today. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I just want to say belated Happy Earth Day. As you enjoy outdoors, be safe out there. Next show, I actually would like to talk about measles because it looks like there's been a rise in cases in the U.S. and other parts of the world. And also, just a quick shout out for the clinic. If you need your preventative screening, please make sure to stop by to get your appointment done, or you can even call to make an appointment to get those things done.
Thank you so much.